episode 140.
And she came to me in the hospital and said, my number one fear came true. And that is, I now have a business I know nothing about. And I think that's very true with a lot of small businesses.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
It's On Point.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriato here, and welcome to episode 140 of the Remarkable Results Radio podcast with Malin Newton from ESI. Yes, it is Malin's second appearance and a very special one. I'll explain in a minute. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts with brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the Parts Tech Trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. You know, it's great to have an engaged listener, and I love doing these interviews for you. I take each interview with a special focus to be sure the story gets told. I know for me, and I hope for you, that you get our guests' insights, stories, and experience that will trigger ideas, actions, or even affirmations within you. And that is what the podcast experience is all about. Why is it worthwhile for you to journey with me and my guest? Well, when you distill it down, every guest is telling a story. And today's interview is storytelling at its best. You've heard Malin Newton from Educational Seminars Institute before in episode 108, and we learned in that episode of a life-changing incident in Malin's life. He pulled through, and now he tells you the rest of the story of that catastrophic event. As a result of this accident, Malin takes a strong and powerful message out to his clients and seminar guests. He calls a seminar, "It Happens, But Will Your Business Survive It?" This is a very powerful story that is a must-hear for everyone. If you are moved by this story, please pay it forward with a friend or a peer. Malin shares some very powerful moments and hopes to influence people to change the way they look at their value to their business. Now I ask you to get out a yellow pad and start writing everything down that comes to mind as Malin talks to you. You may, just may, have a new blueprint for your life going forward. Now please listen intently to Malin Newton. Here we go. A warm welcome to Malin Newton from ESI, Educational Seminars Institute in Simi Valley, California. Good morning.
Good morning, Carm. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, are you kidding me? This may not be the last time. Remember that, okay?
Well, I aspire to be on your show more than Greg Buckley.
That's going to be hard.
I know. But, you know, a man's got a dream.
That's going to be hard. Simi Valley. I've enjoyed some great Cabernets from Simi Valley. Am I right?
I think we do have some wine stuff going on around here. But I've lived here in this area since 1962. So it's changed so much. It's a wonderful place to live.
Well, great. And you know, you and I spoke 2-3 weeks ago, and I said, hey, we've got to do this second episode, and I'd like to talk about it. And I've heard you talk in the past about the accident that you had over a year ago now, just slightly over a year ago, that changed your life, changed your world, and that it motivated you to write a seminar to get the message and the word out to the industry. And I wrote this down, the catastrophic failure of me. And we both agreed that could be one heck of a launch point for you and I just to have a great conversation. What did you mean by that?
Well, I'm like most small businesses. The owner, the front person, is the business. And what happens when that person isn't there anymore? So after all of my excitement, I sat in the hospital for quite a while, and I was thinking, what's the objective lesson I learned from this? And the idea that came to me was, we have to build businesses that outlast us, the legacy, if you will. And I go around and I see a lot of repair shops. I know you've been in a lot of repair shops, and there are not many prepared for that catastrophic failure of the owner. Whether it's a husband and wife team, what is the wife going to do if the husband is the main focal point of the business? She might do the books or run the office, but who's going to take care of the front counter? Who's going to run the guys?
Right, right.
And that kind of drove me to write this class, actually, while sitting in a hospital room. I started writing this class in my head. My wife would not allow me to have anything other than the stuff the doctors gave me. I had no cell phone. I had no computer. Most of the time, I had no pen and paper. So I wrote this in my head and tried to find out what the lesson was that God was trying to teach me by knocking me off my motorcycle, and what's the mission I'm supposed to be on. Because, and I'm sure we'll get to this, you know, the outcome wasn't very good in the beginning.
Yeah. You know, and she said to you, God didn't take away your gift.
Yeah, she actually came to me and said, you know, God gave you a gift and he didn't take it away from you. So he's not finished with you.
Right.
And I took that to heart. I'm a true believer in the idea that things happen for a reason. And as I tell people now, crashing my motorcycle saved my life.
How's that?
Had I not crashed my motorcycle and what happened to me subsequently after the motorcycle accident would have happened at home, I wouldn't have survived.
So you're out now sending a message to all your peers, to everyone who works in the industry, that you need to create and run a perpetual business that survives you, and you need to be better at what you do because you have to prepare for if this ever happens to you. And if it doesn't, something as life-changing has happened to you, and if it doesn't, then everything will be better for that.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. I don't think it's if it ever happens, it's when it happens. Because it's not necessarily a catastrophic failure of me as the owner. But imagine this. You have a business and your spouse gets sick and you now have to leave that business to care for your spouse. What happens to the business and all the things that business provides? It's kind of, in some ways, it's kind of selfish to only think about us. What if
right.
it's your child?
Got it.
What if it's other family members where you're responsible or need to help them? So I think the real lesson I learned here is we have to prepare ourselves because it will happen. We hope it doesn't happen the way it did to me, but things do happen to us all the time, and we need to be prepared for that.
I'm talking with Jonathan Ciccelli, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, you're visiting shops every day, so when you put product in the hands of the technicians and service advisors, what are they saying?
Going back to Federal Mogul's long-term presence in the industry, they already know the product. And some of them we don't have to say much about. It's the newer product, the latest innovations that we come out with that just blow people away.
So, Jonathan, you take that brand new OEX pad and you put it into the hands of a technician. What happens?
They look at it and are kind of speechless for a couple seconds. And they just can't deny that it's an awesome-looking product. And they can't deny that it's going to work fantastic on their vehicles.
Now, another phenomenal product line that is just one of the most iconic brands in the entire industry is Moog. Now, there's a lot going on with Moog.
The newest thing with Moog is going to be, I think, the most important thing to the shops is the newer design ball joint that we created. And that was off of technicians' responses to a boot design.
That's that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot.
Absolutely. And as soon as I pull that out of a box and show a technician or a shop owner, they just were like, this is amazing.
So, Jonathan, would you say that you're a champion for Federal Mogul Motor Parts and all the premium products?
Absolutely.
And a champion for all the training?
I'm very big on training. I've always been in training since I've been in the professional field. So just to come back and support on the other end has just been an awesome experience.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. So you had this catastrophic event. You wrote a seminar that, have you given it yet?
I've given it four or five times pretty much all over the United States, to small groups and large groups. And a very the only way I can put it, it's a pretty humbling response I get from the people that sit in the class.
So give me some reaction.
Well, I did it in the Midwest for a rather large group of people, and I had three of the ladies in the room come to me and tell me, the next time you do this class, you better have some tissues on the table, because it's a very emotional thing. I had one young man, somebody that actually you've interviewed, came to me, because he was actually taking me to the airport the next day, and he picked me up, and he, at the hotel, when he picked me up, he comes to me, and he's got a post-it note stuck on his hand, and he says, I was up all last night. I didn't sleep last night because of what you said, and me being up all night resulted in these notes on this post-it note here, and they basically were his new life goals.
I think he would have no problem if we mentioned his name.
You know who I'm talking about.
Joe Seifert.
Yes, sir.
Episode 50. A great guy. One of the Napa ASE Techs of the Year. Episode 50. Joe's done a couple of episodes with me, and he's a great guy. And I can see, knowing Joe, how he could take this to heart and the impact that you could have on the people that were in that room. Wow.
And it's very interesting, and I'll share a couple things with you if you don't mind that a lot of people don't know about me. I actually got my start in public speaking when I was in high school. And it wasn't I set out to be a public speaker. I was asked at our local church that my mother attended to be the youth pastor. And so every Sunday night throughout the summers and my 15, 16, 17-year-old years, I was the youth pastor. I gave a sermon every Sunday night. And that was really my start to public speaking.
Wow.
And never thought anything else about it until the accident. And my wife comes to me and she talks about being given this gift of talking to almost any group of people without being afraid. Mm-hmm. I'm always nervous but never afraid.
Right.
That he didn't take this gift away from me. And there were some times in the hospital that I had some very blunt conversations with, I refer to him as the big guy upstairs, the big guy.
Sure.
And in a true salesman fashion, I actually had a 12-hour conversation with him where I negotiated with him. And this 12 hours took place overnight. I wasn't sleeping at all. I actually slept sitting up. Because of the broken bones and such, I couldn't get comfortable. And I had this 12-hour conversation with him, and I said, look, I get it. There's a purpose for me to be here. I don't know what that purpose is, and maybe you don't know what that purpose is, but I'm willing to accept whatever that mission is if you could help me with a couple things. And the three things that I asked for, I said, the very first thing I'm going to ask you to do is, one of the gentlemen that was on the ride with me, a gentleman named Dave Allen, longtime friend of mine. I worked for him. In fact, he was actually the reason I became a service writer. His wife had fallen and shattered her shoulder, was in a lot of pain and discomfort. And I said, you know, I would really, really appreciate it if you could help her. Just relieve the pain. Just make her feel comfortable. And the second thing I asked for was that the people that were taking care of the company, that they and their families were healthy and taken care of because they were a direct results taking care of my family, to give them, you know, the strength and the peace and that good health to be able to continue doing that. And the last thing I asked for was I had a medical device on me that was extremely painful. It was excruciatingly painful. And I asked to get some relief from it. And I told him, I said, you know, I know that the pain is part of the lesson, so we can't be pain-free or the lesson loses its message. But if you could help me with this pain, relieve me some, then I will accept whatever mission you give me, whatever it is. Wherever it takes me, whatever it means, I'll do that.
Well, how long did it take for your three requests?
Well, I did this for 12 hours. I started this at night. I had some music on my headphones, and I wadded up a pillow and put on the little table they feed you off of. That's how I used to sleep, just slumped over that. 12 hours later, I kind of came to, the pillow's sweat, soaked in sweat. And a nurse walks in the room and she says, you know, Malin, it's your lucky day today. And I looked at her and I said, are you sending me home? And she says, no, not quite that lucky, but we're going to take this medical device off of you. So within probably an hour of this conversation, I got a sign that said, your message was received and I accept the terms.
Wow. Wow.
And that was just one of a couple of lessons.
Yeah.
So in March, when I finally got out of the last hospital and I was home, and my wife actually left the cell phone with me when she'd get up and go to work and leave me. I was sitting here by myself. And one day the phone rang. And again, this is sometime in March. The dates are kind of vague for me. And my phone rang and I answered it. And it was an association I speak for, and I've spoken for them for years. He says, you know, we're glad you're back. We're glad you're getting better. We were thinking here that what happened to you and how your company survived would be a very objective lesson for our membership. Would you mind talking about this in October at our convention? And I said, absolutely. You know, I was just thrilled that somebody was still thinking of me and thinking I'm capable of doing my job. So I said, absolutely. Hung the phone up. Within 30 minutes, I had two other associations call me and ask me exactly the same question.
Wow. how chilling.
I actually sat back in the bed and kind of looked up and I said, message received.
Wow. So did you learn anything when it came to your own business, Malin? You obviously didn't have any say, any control of your own business. Did it, I know it survived. Obviously you're here and you're still, you know, out there rocking. What was your personal takeaway and how have you taken that, what you learned there and put it into your seminar?
Well, first and foremost, I had good people. And I knew I had good people, but I didn't realize how good they were until this happened. Because for 6 months, in all honesty, Carm, for 6 months, I had nothing to do with the business. My wife would not leave me my cell phone while I was in the hospital. She'd come visit me and say, you can call these people. And I'd make one or two phone calls. And this was 3 months after all of this went down.
How badly were you chomping at the bit to want to know what the heck was going on? And did she continue to refuse to tell you?
Well, it wasn't – that's kind of a difficult question because from the actual day of the accident until – which was December 30th – until sometime in January, I have no recollection of anything.
Okay.
I have little bits and pieces. I have conversations with doctors. One conversation with a doctor I remember.
Yeah.
I remember joking with the ambulance drivers that took me to the hospital after the crash. And I don't remember anything else. So when I got to the, which would now be the third hospital I was in, more of an extended care therapeutic place, my wife just basically said, here, you know, call one of the guys, just talk with them. And we'd talk about the information that was released about the accident, not because we were trying to deny everything, anything happened, but our controlled release of information, and I say ours, meaning I didn't have a lot to do with it, their choices, was to prevent my wife from being overwhelmed by some of the couple dozen people I know calling and asking how I was doing.
Got it.
It was a hour-long conversation once or twice a week with the guys, and it wasn't, this is what we're doing. It's more like, you know, March is a busy trade show month for us.
Sure it is.
And my concern was both myself and Bill Haas, who works for us and speaks for us, commit to many events in March because that seems to be our trade show month. We did not miss a single event. Bill spoke at all of his events. He spoke at all of mine, took my place. And the one that he couldn't because we were actually speaking against each other at the same event at the same time, we hired a young man who came in and just did an exceptional job. He taught a class that he never wrote, that I spent an hour on the phone with him talking about how I present the class, and he did a killer job. I mean, it just knocked it out of the park.
Malin, are you a kind of person who prides themselves in being in control?
I don't think you can own a business today without being a bit of a control freak.
All right.
And that's a humbling thing when you realize that you don't have to be in control of everything.
And was that one of your biggest lessons?
It was. I tried not to be a control freak before. Okay. Uh-huh. You know, it's kind of hard for me to control everything that happens when you have four or five people talking to dozens of clients and speaking engagements. I trusted them to do what they were supposed to do to commit and make the deadlines that they did. But I'll tell you the real eye-opening thing is when I finally got back in my office and I was just, you know, catching up, and I realized they didn't do things the way I do. They did this differently, or they handled this event differently, or they did this in a manner I wouldn't have done it in. And it hit me. Who cares?
So you let it go.
I had to, because it was months had passed in some cases. But the end result was the commitment we made to the associations, the trade shows were done. The commitments we made to our clients were done. And like I said, not only did they maintain the company, but they gained clients while I wasn't involved in it. So who's to say that my way was the right way? And that was probably the lesson I learned the most, is that as long as the end result, the expectation is correct and the clients are happy, well, I think for everybody in business, that should be the end result, right?
So Malin, you're the face of the business and you have a great team behind you. Do you believe that if you, your lesson made your business more valuable?
Absolutely. And that's the other lesson that all the shop owners out there need to really pay attention to, is that if they have a business that they have to be at, it's worth less money. Because if I can't buy your business and make it function the same way because I'm not you, it's not really a sellable business.
Got it. You leave, the business goes in the tank. Why am I buying it?
Exactly. Exactly. And it goes back to, and this has been a lesson that I've really, and I'll use the term preached pretty harshly since I got back to doing this, is set expectations. Tell your staff what you expect. And that's the one place I'll say to kind of blow my own horn here. I tried to tell my guys what the expectations are, how the client's supposed to be taken care of, how we take care of them, even down to how we do things at trade shows, how we, if you will, act
right
at trade shows, so that we had a clear expectation of what I wanted.
Right.
And then they were able to mold that into their personalities and their styles and still accomplish the ultimate goal, which is happy clients.
Yeah, but it's still good to be sure that your face, your corporate face to the public is there. But were you like micromanaging every aspect of it?
No.
Okay.
To be honest with you, from a couple days before December 30th when I crashed.
Yeah.
Because the holidays, we usually don't do a whole lot in December. I let the guys, you know, just downtime.
Yeah.
Till March, I virtually made no decisions in the company.
Yeah.
At all. My wife, and here's the other side of the unexpected side of this. You know, my wife's like many shop owners' wives. They have a career of their own. She's a very accomplished in her career path. Mm-hmm. She knows what I do. She doesn't know a whole lot about the inner workings of the company. And she came to me in the hospital and said, my number one fear came true. And that is, I now have a business I know nothing about. And I think that's very true with a lot of small businesses.
That's a powerful statement. And I think that needs to resonate very deeply with our listener. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm truly blessed because my wife is a very intelligent, outspoken woman. And I have a couple things that she has told me since my accident that have I'll just put it this way, it kind of rocked my world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful that she was brave enough and honest enough to say them to me. And that was one of them.
Wow.
And, you know, the second thing that she told me, and it's kind of out of context, but I think it's a powerful message. I'm sitting at the kitchen table. I'm home. It's sometime in March. I'm home. And I must have been whining about something. And I try not to be a whiner. I'm a very optimistic person. I'm a doer.
Mm-hmm.
And she got really exasperated with me. And she actually leaned forward, got real close to me. We're sitting at the table having coffee. And she goes, Malin, there's a lot of people out there doing a lot more with a lot less than you have. So why don't you just shut up and get on with it?
Upside of the head with a 4x4, right?
Yes, sir.
Don't you say that a lot?
Yes, I do. And it was exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Because after spending all that time in hospitals and being worse physically fit than I had been, it pushed me.
Okay. Do you think you've changed a lot of lives out there because of your experience?
I hope that I've influenced change.
Got it.
Or change. I can't change lives. I can't change you. All I can do is be influence.
Right.
And I actually have told clients for many years, I said, people are like electricity. They take the path of least resistance. And that's pretty much all of us. I now consider myself water running over granite, which means if I continue to do what I do for a long enough period of time, the granite will change.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way I think about life now.
As you were saying earlier, wow, this is meant for a purpose, because there isn't a preacher in our industry, quote unquote preacher in our industry, doing this. And because of your deep personal experience, the credibility that you bring to that influence is so strong, so strong.
Once again, to go back to a very intelligent woman, she came to me while I was in the hospital, and she says, you have a story to tell.
Yeah.
That only you can tell. And what makes this story different than what most people, other people say, is that you've now lived it. You went from being who you were,
yeah, yeah,
to being out of it, to having to recover from it. You know, Carm, I've said this many times. It was a very humbling experience. But when I'm sitting in a hospital bed and I have a physical therapist teaching me how to get dressed again, and you may not know this or not, but I've been around for a while. I'm an old guy. It really rocks your world when you have to ask permission to go to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
It changes your perspective on things. And so when I talk about this, and I'm actually doing this entire 3-hour seminar at CARS this year, it's called It Happens. We have to be prepared for that to happen. And we're not prepared to walk out of our business for a day or a weekend. How are we going to be out of that business for 6 or 8 months?
Wow. Hey, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on and sharing this deeply emotional event in your life and how you turned it around to help people. You and I spoke a few weeks back to talk about how we were going to frame this episode. And near the end of our talk, you said, you know, Carm, maybe some people may not get a chance to hear me, but there's some books they should read. Do you remember them books?
Oh, I actually have a lot of books. you know, there's the two most impressive books that I've recently read is one called Extreme Ownership. And it's written by Navy SEALs. One of the mantras, if you will, in the SEALs are, we take ownership of everything that happens. We don't blame other people. if something happened to your team, you either didn't do the right research, you didn't plan appropriately, you didn't have the right equipment, you didn't train correctly. And something that's been brought up to me, and the reason this book hit home so hard with me, was I have never blamed anybody else for what happened to me. Mm-hmm. It's 100% my fault.
Right.
And I think that's part of the lesson that I'm supposed to talk to people about, is we control this stuff.
Yeah.
We control it. And I would say that is a book that I would recommend to everybody.
Extreme Ownership.
Extreme Ownership. It's available on Audible, audiobooks. Yeah, it's written. Yeah. It's a powerful book about taking ownership of what happens in your life and your business. It's not your employee's fault. It's not the vendor's fault. It's not the economy's fault. It's your fault.
Right. Wow. I think the last time we were together, I asked you some great words to live by, but this whole entire episode is great words to live by. Malin Newton from ESI, Educational Seminars Institute. Wow, what a story of survivorship as a result of your accident. And now you're out preaching why it's so important to have a great plan of running a perpetual business. Hey, man, thanks so much.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and your listeners. You have a great following, and I highly respect what you're doing. And I appreciate the opportunity just to tell my story, because, you know, between you and I, maybe we both can change one more person's lives.
Yeah, that's great. Now, if you want to catch up to Greg Buckley, I'll see you at CARS. Okay.
Excellent.
And we'll talk about Malin Newton 3.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate your time, Carm. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys and gals, thanks so much for listening. Like I explained in the preamble, this was a big and powerful episode. Now, find additional show notes on Malin Newton from ESI, bio information, and a link to his company. Find them exclusively on the show notes episodes page on Remarkable Results Radio. How can you quickly find the show notes, you ask? Good question. It's very easy. Type in remarkableresults.biz/E140. Simply put, the E signifies episode, and the 140 is the episode number. It's easy to find every show notes for every episode. Just enter a slash at the end of my URL, an E, and then the episode number. Hey, you are an important reason I bring you these interviews, so you can profit from the wisdom found in each episode. Hey, so help spread the word. Pay it forward. And I'm so grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.